Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Hillary Clinton is giving her farewell address to the United States Senate right now. Let's listen in live.
I knew then there would be lasting health problems for everyone who was exposed over any period of time to that air that carried so much death and destruction. 2 days later, Senator Schumer and I went to the Oval Office and secured a commitment from President Bush for $20 billion in federal aid for New York's recovery. And in the years that would follow, he and I have stood side by side to fight for the successful delivery of that money as promised. And in this and every instance, I am very grateful to have had Senator Schumer as my partner and my ally. No one fights harder or is more determined. And even though I'm leaving the Senate and we will no longer serve together, I know that whenever I'm missing Chuck, all I have to do is turn on the television. Especially on Sunday in New York. Over the past 7 years, thanks to so many of you, Senator Inouye, Senator Cochran, and others on the Appropriations Committee, I see Senator Harkin, Senator Murray, you have been there with us as we have worked to recover, and I'm very proud of the progress that has been made bringing New York back and securing funding for the essential programs to provide health screening and monitoring and treatment for all those who still are suffering. I've developed close and lasting relationships with many of the victims and the families of the victims of 9/11. And I applaud and thank them for their courage and their fortitude in not only fighting for the health benefits that were so desperately needed, but for the creation of the 9/11 Commission, for trying to do better on threat assessments, more resources for first responders, committed, despite their grief, to smarter policies to prevent future attacks on our nation. I see what we did together, and then quickly followed by that, the anthrax attack, and remember with such incredible gratitude how we all came together. We should not only come together with that level of connection and commitment in time of disaster. This is an opportunity for us to pull together with the new administration to make a real difference, a lasting difference for our nation.
Hillary Clinton live giving her farewell address to the United States Senate, a reflection of the near unanimous confirmation she's expecting from her colleagues as early as next Tuesday, confident enough to give that farewell address today. And now Governor Patterson is indicating that he may name a winner in the Senate seat sweepstakes even before next Tuesday, since Clinton's confirmation seems to be sailing through. So we've been taking the last few weeks to talk to candidates for that job, including Gerald Nadler, Tom Suozzi, Steve Israel, and others. Some have declined, including Caroline Kennedy, Andrew Cuomo, and Kirsten Gillibrand. And we continue now with New York City Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney on the appointment and other things, too, since, of course, there is so much of the nation's business going on in Congress right now. Congresswoman Maloney, welcome back to WNYC. How are you?
Wonderful to be back, Brian, and thank you for inviting me on your important show.
Have you heard anything yet from the governor?
No, I have not, but I've just been doing my job. Last night we had a farewell reception for Hillary. It was hosted by Senator Schumer. And this weekend we're trying to introduce a bill that she was talking on the floor, literally, in her farewell speech, which is a bill called the 9/11 Health and Comprehensive Care Bill, which I authored 7 years ago and have still not gotten it through the House and or the Senate. But we are very close. We came very close to passing it in the last Congress. And it would provide monitoring for everyone who was exposed to the deadly toxins of 9/11 and treatment for everyone who is sick. That has been a big focus of the delegation, not only securing the $20 billion, but making sure that it was spent in our great city to help us rebuild. One of the most important bills that we worked on was the anti-terrorism risk insurance bill that helped us insure the building so we could go forward in rebuilding New York. But the one thing that remains is the health care for the heroes and heroines who rushed into burning buildings to save others, who worked on the toxic pile, and now are sick and dying.
And
we need to help them.
And it was interesting to me that as we dipped in live to Senator Clinton's remarks, that that's what she was talking about.
Because, I know. That's what struck me.
and not only because you were coming on, but also because she wasn't only using this address to talk about national and now as the next Secretary of State international issues, but she really was being the senator from New York there because that's a particular New York interest, and she was bringing it up in this address, which is, you know, being televised around the world.
Absolutely, and it's an important issue. What is more important than health care, as Martin Luther King said, and we celebrate his birthday on Monday. The biggest inequity in the world is between a man who has health care and one who does not. And I hope that we can get this health care that is so sorely needed by the 9/11 workers.
Why do you think that you haven't been able to get it through, even in these last 2 years of Democratic control, your party's control, in the Congress?
Well, first of all, Brian, it's not easy to pass a bill. It takes a tremendous skill and coalition building, research, putting everything together, and making the case so that you can move forward, which is why I believe that whomever the governor supports should be someone with experience who knows how to get the job done, who can hit the ground running and help New York with many of the crises that we have. We are in a national crisis now over our economy. But I believe that the resistance to this bill was the cost of it. When they did the analysis, we're talking about taking care of people for the next 30 years. And many of the scientists and doctors are concerned that the heroes and heroines may have cancer, which is very costly to treat. So they put a $10 billion price tag on it. And in the laws and rules that we have of the House, even in the Democratic majority, or actually they were put in under the Democratic majority, we have PAYGO rules that you have to pay for what you're spending. So not only did we have to put the coalition together, get the research together, but we had to find the money. We had to find $10 billion to pay for it. With the leadership of Charlie Rangel, we were able to find it. We got the commitment of Speaker Pelosi. We were on the verge of passing it, and some key supporters in the state and city did not support it, so we could not get it through. But going forward, we're going to get it through. Let's be positive. We're going to pass this bill, and whether I'm in the Senate or the House, I'll be working very, very hard to get health care to the 9/11 workers.
What do you think some of your main accomplishments as a legislator have been?
Oh, I talking about 9/11, I would say that founding the 9/11 caucus, bipartisan caucus, and we worked on the recovery of 9/11. It was our legislation in the House. You always work as a group, and it's a coalition working together. But we passed legislation requiring the 9/11 Commission report. And we got it funded. Believe it or not, it was a fight to get the 9/11 Commission put in place. When the report came out, it basically showed that there were 40. It had 47 recommendations that they called to be implemented. By the way, if you haven't read it, you should read it, Brian. It reads like a novel. It's not a boring document. And in fact, it sold more copies than Harry Potter. So then we worked to put forward
9/11. You're talking about the actual 9/11 Commission report, right?
Exactly, exactly. It was a bestseller. And I even nominated them for a book award, but they didn't win.
They didn't win. That deserved a book award. I have a very dog-eared copy, I must say, but go ahead.
But in any event, we then authored the 47 recommendations. The most important one was more security for our residents by improving our national security and the way that we gather intelligence. And this one story, I think, illustrates why it was so important. They talked about going to see Tenet, then the head of the CIA, and asked, was he aware of the men that wanted to learn how to fly but not to land? And he said, oh, yes, we were tracking 16 of them. And they said, well, what did you do with this information? He said, nothing, because by law I could not share it with domestic intelligence. So we changed that. We took all of the 15 different intelligence agencies, put them under one umbrella, created a new national intelligence director so that the sharing of information and intelligence to help prevent an attack was put into place. Then the first bill that we passed in the new Congress, H.R. 1, was a bill that Chris Shays and I did that really authored the remaining recommendations and to make us safer. So I think the whole work on 9/11, the passage of the anti-terrorism risk insurance was, according to the business community, one of the most important things we did, working to secure with our senators the $20 billion and making sure that it was spent appropriately was an important a step forward. I would say that my credit card Bill of Rights that I am really introducing today with Senator Schumer, he's going to carry it in the Senate, which is good.
You're introducing a credit card Bill of Rights today?
Yes, it's been endorsed by 54 editorial boards across the nation. Even the Federal Reserve has come out with rules similar to my bill, calling the practices unfair, deceptive, and anti-competitive.
What's in the Bill of Rights? What would it give us?
It's the first consumer protection bill in credit cards that has ever passed the Congress. It cracks down on some of the most abusive practices, and that of any time, any reason, rate increases. Does away with the tricks and traps that catch people in a never-ending cycle of credit. There are retroactive interest rate increases on balances. It has a number of things that help consumers better manage their credit, and it passed the House overwhelmingly, 312 to 112, so that was a very strong bipartisan movement there. I feel that my work in bringing resources back to New York has been very important. In fact, the two largest construction projects in the entire country are in my district with well over $4 billion in federal commitment. One is the Second Avenue Subway, which has over $1.3 billion in federal commitment, which is now being built. The other is the Long Island-Queens East Side Connector that would bring people into the city to work and help them leave. We need to invest in our infrastructure in order to go forward. Also, I worked with the Transportation Department to release a new RFP for high-speed rail. That has been out there now, and there are 11 sites throughout the country that can apply for this proposal, which includes a $5 million grant to start planning. One, this is very interesting, one is from New York to Washington, high speed, and the other is the Empire Route, which would be Albany all the way up to Buffalo.
These are all projects that I guess these days, in today's terminology, we call shovel ready, right?
Yes, to get moving. And as you know, we're working on a major economic recovery bill, a stimulus bill to help get our economy moving. And today, the TARP bill is on the floor, and I have an important amendment to it that would require a centralized database of exactly where this money is going. We have put $350 billion out in the community, and many of my constituents are telling me that their lines of credit, their access, particularly to commercial loans, has dried up. So an important factor in getting our economy moving again is to have the access to capital out there and to have the institutions loaning that money so that people can achieve it and put it back into their small businesses and employing people, buying supplies, and get our economy moving.
That's pretty interesting. On that database, would it simply require the government to say to what institutions the TARP money was flowing, or would it require the institutions to be completely transparent in saying whether they're using the money to build their reserves, whether they're
exactly
using their money for consolidation with other banks, or whether they're using their money to make particular loans?
We already have the information of who received the money. It's really the second point that you mentioned, Brian, mm-hmm. an understanding of how that money is being spent. many of my constituents are concerned when they hear about the mergers and the acquisitions and buying roads in Spain and buying banks in China, and they don't want their tax money being spent in that way. They want their tax money going back into the American economy. So it is really looking at how that money is spent. And right now, there are so many different regulators. They are giving information maybe to, in the case of Citibank, I looked at it, they were giving information to 54 different areas because they're so massive in their different businesses they're involved in. This would combine all that information into one database so that regulators and analysts and the public can understand where that money is going and whether it's being used in an appropriate way to help our economy and to get our economy moving again.
We're almost out of time. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, Democrat from New York, my guest on WNYC. She's hoping to be the next senator from New York as Hillary Clinton moves on. Just let me follow up on the credit card Bill of Rights very briefly. It doesn't sound like it includes a cap on the amount of interest that credit card companies could charge. Why not? Why should it be legal for any credit card to charge us 30% interest?
Well, what it does, believe me, it was such a fight to get this through. It took me 2 years working on it practically every day. That's why you need an experienced legislator. There are other bills in that cap the limit, and I'm a co-sponsor of one. It hasn't moved. I support it. Let's move it. But what this does do, which I did get through, gives to the consumer the ability to manage their own credit. What happens is you get into these credit cards, and then they change the terms. They say it's going to be at 9%, and then they jack it up to 30% retroactively on the balance. And people just can't get out of it. Yet in the small type of the 30 pages, it says that they can increase it for any time, any reason. Or they can increase it because of an unrelated activity, such as you were late one day on some other bill. This says it stops that abuse. They can no longer increase it for any time, any reason. They can't increase it for other items that are that you do in another area, and it stops. It makes them. It protects the cardholder against all of this arbitrary interest rate increase, and it allows them time to change if they do increase it. In other words, if you're going to increase the interest rate, the only reason you can do it is because they fail to pay their bill. But you have to give them a 45-day notice, and this gives the consumer time to decide that they are not going to continue with this credit card, but will pay it off and go to another credit card.
All right. Congresswoman, our next segment is going to be a call-in for our listeners to answer the question, how cold is it? And I thought you might appreciate these two that have just come in. Paolo from Patterson wrote, it's so cold, Bush administration staffers are burning pre-war intelligence files to keep warm.
And that's pretty good.
And someone else wrote, it's so cold, Congressman Scott Garrett's vote against S-CHIP did not make me hot with rage.
Oh, listen, I know. We're doing a lot of great things. We passed the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which works to end pay discrimination against women. We passed the so-called S-CHIP, the state children's insurance program that will provide insurance to needy children. And we've passed a number of really great bills. And today we're working on the TARP bill, on the accountability of where that money is going. We're working on the stimulus. We're taking many steps to try to get our economy moving again, right. And whoever gets appointed by Governor Patterson has to run in 2010 and 2012. I've never lost an election, and would look forward to working hard. Whatever happens, Brian, I'll be happy. I love my job in the House, and if I stay in the House, I'm happy. If I go to the Senate, I'm happy. Whatever, I'll just continue doing the same thing, helping New Yorkers and working hard.
Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Brian. Bye bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And how cold is it? We'll take your phone calls. Answer the question. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. From our Facebook page, someone wrote, it's so cold that the politicians have their hands in their own pockets. 212-433-WNYC or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. How cold is it?